Hey, thanks for praying for us in Hawaii. I'm not sure how you pray for people that go to Hawaii. Maybe that they'll die when they're over there or something. I don't know. But Hawaii was nice. The problem was, I don't know, I got in this plane. They're changing the planes up, man. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting straight up and my knees are touching the back of the seat in front of me. Tried doing that for 8 hours. It's crazy. So Luke, you know, he has his surgery and he's coming Friday, so he's going to have to go back on Memorial Day weekend, and hey, the airlines just kill you on that weekend. So it really wasn't that much more to bump him up to first class. I said, Luke, let me know how that works out. I said, I want you to take a picture of the tablecloth, the real silverware, the food, the waitress. I want the person next to you. I want the whole ambiance, man, because I've never done anything like that before. Isn't it nice to have your son be able to do that? Well, thank you for praying for Luke. We got to go to his church. His church is in a house, which the director of the Baptist Student Ministries there, RJ, is also the pastor of his church, who has a church in his house. So they have about like 80 people that show up in his house, and they're mostly college students. And what's really different is everybody takes their shoes off when they go into the house. So we're all having church barefoot, man. I thought, I wonder if that'd work in Floresville. No, it wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. But we had a great time. What was really cool was that was the Sunday that Heather decided to give her testimony. You remember, I asked you guys, and many of you have been praying for Heather. She was on the beach volleyball team. She stands at 6'4", I think. She dates a guy that thinks he's 6'5", and he's really about 6'2", and so he walks around like this when he walks around with Heather. Anyway, you remember she was on that hiking trail, and she was trying to take a picture of the waterfall, and she slipped and fell 5 stories. And so she broke 8 ribs, collapsed a lung, broke her scapula, her arm. Several things happened. The doctor told her that really saved her life. What was interesting is on the, she actually had, you call it a Google cam or something. And so it was actually, the whole thing was videoed. And she showed it to us on the screen. So we saw her slip down the rock and go down as she was trying to grab the cliff as she fell all the way down. And then the Google cam was actually in the water because she fell in about 2 feet of water, and it took a while before they rolled her back over. But there was a guy from Texas who happened along, and he could give the coordinates that were just right for a place for the helicopter to land, which was a big part of saving her life. Because 2 weeks earlier, a lady had fell to her death at the same place. And so anyway, a lot of stuff, and Heather shared her story, but she talked about how God used her in this whole experience in her life to point out that volleyball is not the most important thing in her life. It's the Lord. And she's very grateful for being much closer to the Lord now through this experience. And she said, you know, we don't get to pick our experiences all the time. God allows certain things to come into our lives, and we need to be listening when God does things in our life that sometimes are not always pleasant. And it was just refreshing for me to hear a 22-year-old say these kinds of things after the experience that she had. So she wanted me to thank all of you for praying for her. And so I told her I would carry that message, and she's doing really well. I want to talk to you about moms today. Let me read you a scripture out of Zephaniah that you have never probably had read to you on Mother's Day. The word of the Lord, which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Then you go to verse 2. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. You ever had that read to you on Mother's Day? What is that all about? Well, in thinking about moms, we'll get to that in a second. There was a survey done among 1,000 mothers, and they found that moms are the most quizzed people on the planet. On average, from breakfast to afternoon, the average stay-at-home mom faces one question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds. This adds up to 105,120 questions per year. The questions spike during mealtimes. Girls aged 4 are the most curious, asking an incredible 390 questions per day. On the other spectrum, boys could care less. According to the survey, the moms claim these are the top 5. Not necessarily funny, they're just kind of interesting. Number 1, why is water wet? Number 2, where does the sky end? Number 3, what are shadows made of? Number 4, why is the sky blue? And number 5, how do fish breathe underwater? Just interesting trivia. The average stay-at-home mom, it was calculated, should make, for all her work as daycare center teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, facilities manager, janitor, and van driver, a salary of $112,000 based on a 40-hour per week base pay plus 54 and a 7.7 hours a week of overtime. And the mom that works should get about $70,000 based on 40 hours of mothering duties in addition to her other job and 17.9 overtime bonus per week. Here's what Brené Brown said recently. Now, this is really interesting. She described what she called a breakdown, like a mental breakdown, that propelled her to go back to church. And in an interview, here's what she said. She said, I definitely went back to church for all the wrong reasons. I really went because this is hard and this hurts. And in all the midlife unraveling books, they say go back to church, and that's what everybody does. So I went back to church, thinking that it would be like an epidural. Like it would take the pain away. I remember, you know, there was with one of the kids, I can't remember which one, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, we passed the time to give you an epidural. And we all know what that means. And I thought to myself, it's interesting that I don't remember which one of the kids it was, but I guarantee you, if Allison were here today, she's not feeling very well, she could tell you which kid it was that she missed the epidural. Mamas remember that kind of thing. She was thinking, well, this lady's thinking, Miss Brown, if I go back to church, it'll be like something that will take the pain away. The church wouldn't make the pain go away. And then she said, I discovered that faith in church was not like an epidural at all. It's like a midwife who just stands next to you and says, push. It's supposed to hurt. You know, life, that's kind of like life, isn't it? Because not everything is pleasant and wonderful and tremendous. Now, Zephaniah was one of the minor prophets. He lived in the late 7th century. There's so much stuff we learn from the minor prophets and from Israel in the Old Testament. He's one of them. He's no exception. this is a sober word that he gives to Judah. The northern tribes had already been swept away by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians had still been a tremendous enemy and thorn in the flesh of Israel. And much of the pain that Israel was going through was self-inflicted. Nevertheless, he gives this word to Judah, and so he's walking up and down among the people, and he's given this word, and this sobering word about this day that's coming, and there are a lot of mamas in town who are going to hear this. There are a lot of mothers who have little children and have teenagers, adolescents. They have families, and they're concerned about their families. They're concerned about the future for their kids. And here's what they hear from Zephaniah. Wow. Not the most pleasant thing you could ever want to hear in your life. Well, what was the problem? The problem was Josiah's dad was Amon, and Amon's dad was Manasseh. Manasseh ruled for 50 years. He was the most wicked king of Judah. In fact, he was so bad, he was worse than Ahab. Remember Jezebel? Ahab, and he was worse than them. That's pretty bad, folks. Well, then he died, and then his son Amon became the king for 2 years and was assassinated. And so they looked for all the kids to assassinate for a coup, and they hit out Josiah, who was 8 years old. Zephaniah did. By the time Josiah had reached the age of 18, it was now time for him to come out and become the king. Well, he was under the influence of Zephaniah, and so he saw things totally different than his father and his grandfather, and he began to change what was going on in Israel, not only politically, but more importantly, religiously. He began to reform Israel. He began to take out all the high places and all the wickedness from Baal worship that his father and grandfather had infiltrated and saturated in Israel, so that the people had gone astray. They had not been following the Lord. And so much of this pain was self-inflicted by Israel because they weren't following the Lord. And Josiah begins all of this, and then something extraordinary happens in 621. Somebody is trying to clean up the temple and get rid of all the stuff from years past, and they are dusting off the shelves, and they find a book, and the book was the Bible. We believe what they found was the book of Deuteronomy. Zephaniah, he finds it, he brings it to Josiah, and Josiah says, "Read it, I want to hear what it says." And oh, when he hears it, man, his heart just melts. Because he hears about who God is and how holy he is and how sinful man is, and the separation, the disparity. Oh, and man, it convicts him. And not only does it convict his own life, but it convicts him in his leadership. And so he wants to lead Israel in this way that he had just read, that he just listened to in the Word of God. And so he really begins a lot of changes. Well, God, in the meantime, gives this word to Zephaniah. Now, Josiah, unfortunately, died just prior to this time. The Egyptians were going to assist the Assyrians as they were fighting the Babylonians in the great battle of Carchemish. And of course, they hated the Assyrians because of the cruel things that they did. So Josiah dressed up as a regular warrior and went out to the war to meet Pharaoh Necho. And when he did, he died. But he delayed the Egyptians long enough from assisting the Assyrians so that they were defeated by the Babylonians. So he was able to assist his own people against their enemies, even though it meant his death. Just after that, God gives this word to Zephaniah. What is that word? There's a day coming, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, where God will sweep away all of the wickedness, the wicked people, and the wicked nations of the Lord to not be remembered anymore. Well, if you're a mama walking down the streets of Judah, How does that give you comfort? How does that help you in Mother's Day? When you're a mom, you have an agenda for your children, don't you? I mean, whether it's on purpose or subliminal, you have an agenda. One of the things you probably have an agenda or on your list for your children is that they'll be healthy and that you can keep them from harm. I remember Allison, she was telling me that all the boys were different, and she said she could take Micah over to the sink and open up the cabinet up below, and you know how you have all the stuff that you clean with, not that you should keep it there, you know, we're learning, but we did. We were young parents, and we didn't know, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. And she opens it up. She says, Micah, you do not want to go on here. You want to stay away from here. This is bad stuff. And that's all you needed to do. Tell Micah. Close the door. It's over with. But Drew, on the other hand, very curious individual. He wanted to know about everything and anything. So they're just different, you know. But your goal, your agenda is to have healthy kids and keep them safe, keep them from harm. Well, then that agenda grows as they get a little older. You want them to go to school so they can learn how to read and write and do arithmetic, and you want them to graduate from high school someday so they can do what? So they can either go to a vocational school and learn a great trade to take care of their family, or so they can go to college and have some kind of job. So they can do what? So they can get off your payroll. Yeah. Amen, Brother Mike. But really, so they can take care of themselves. So they won't be a baby anymore. You don't want an adult in diapers. You want them to grow up. This is part of your agenda. And then you're hoping that they're going to meet that special person, right? That other person that's going to like you, that's going to want to come see you every once in a while, and then someday let you see the grandkids. You're hoping you're going to be on that list. You're hoping. That's your dream. That's all, and those are all wonderful things. But I'm telling you, when you listen to that verse, put it back up there. When you listen to that verse, all those things I just mentioned to you, they're way down the list. The number one thing on your list and your agenda should be, as a mom, that you're going to train your child in a way so that as they hear the gospel, someday they will respond to it so they can miss that day. So they won't have to be afraid of that day. Now, here's what you've got to do as a mom. Three things. You need to receive the Word of God. You need to live the Word of God, and you need to share the Word of God. I promise you, there were mamas walking around in Judah in the day that Zephaniah gave this word, and they gave no attention to it at all. They gave no thought to it at all. It went in one ear and out the other ear. And a lot of it was because of the way they were raised. It's because their mamas and their daddies didn't raise them in the way of the Lord. They raised them in the way of Manasseh. They raised them in the way of Amon. And so when the time came for them to be able to hear as an adult, they couldn't hear. Their ears were stopped up because they had so much world in their lives. So here's what you got to do. As a mom, when you read the first three verses of Zephaniah, you got to ask yourself, do you believe that? Do you believe there's a day coming, a day of reckoning, that will, where God will sweep away every wicked person, every wicked thing, every wicked nation? And if you do believe that, it's going to create fear in your life. And you're going to say to yourself, I can't just raise the kids, my kids just the way I want to, or the way it might seem nice, or a way that might seem convenient. Man, I need to raise my kids in the way of the Lord because I'm listening to what God says, and I know when God says something, He means it. He means it. That day is coming. Secondly, you not only receive the Word of God, which means you really believe it, you live it. I mean, what's going to happen if you tell your kids one thing, but you live another? It's not going to work. You can't just talk to them. You can't just share with them what God says. You've got to live what God says. That means you got to stay in the book. That means you got to stay in your prayers. That means we have to be praying for you, and you have to be praying for us. We have to be praying for each other. That's part of what the church is all about, so that we can help each other shoulder to shoulder. No one here is in this thing by themselves. There's no isolationism in Christianity. It's brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and children. We are a family. We are here to help each other. That's why we have a baby dedication. We're not asking these parents to do this all on their own. We're saying, hey, we're there with you, shoulder to shoulder. We want to support you. And we want to support you in being here as your kids learn about the Bible. And watch you, when you're in church, do what? Sit there like a bump on the log? Or no, as you sing, as you bow your heads and close your eyes and worship the Lord and pray, as you listen, your kids are watching that. They're going, oh, if it's good for mom and dad, it must be good for me. Sadly, a lot of kids that grow up and they don't come to church and they don't learn about the Lord because their parents didn't. Why should I go if my mom and dad didn't? If it wasn't good for them, must not be good for me. Boy, it's a generational curse, but God can stop it because we're not all raised that way. But God can intervene. He intervened in my life, and He's intervened in many of your lives, even though we weren't necessarily raised in a Christian home. Raised in a good home. My parents loved me, cared about me. We just didn't know the Lord. I mean, a lot of people like that. God can still work it out. We've got to receive the word of the Lord. We've got to really believe what God says and take heed to it. We need to live it. And we're going to need God's help for that. Part of living the Christian life is saying, I'm sorry. It's not about being perfect. It's not about always doing it right, because we're not going to always do it right. It's about saying, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then, God, help me to learn from my mistakes. Help me to learn from my failures, my sins. And we're going to have them. It's okay. God is merciful. God is gracious. Thirdly, we need to share. We need to talk about it. You know, when we eat, I think God had more in mind for us when we eat than eating. Now, eating's important. We got to eat to survive. But when you look at different texts, like in Deuteronomy 6, when you sit down, share these things with your kids, when you sit, you know, when we eat, we sit down. That's a time to share with your family. That's a time to share. Well, what did you learn today? What did God teach you today? Now, it's not that God teaches me something every day, but there are days when He teaches me something that I didn't really understand and that an experience helped me to understand a little bit better. Wouldn't it benefit my kids if I shared that with them, or if I just kept it all to myself? No. Got to share. We got to receive. We got to live. And we got to share. Now, Zephaniah did not leave these mamas with verses 1 through 3. He's going to say, you're going to want to train your kids so that they can respond to God when they get old enough, so that they won't have to fear that day, and so that they can enjoy another day. Listen to what he says in chapter 3. Verse 16. In that day, It shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. And he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Sounds like a spiritual mother to me. I mean, that's what mamas do. They want to cover. They want to rejoice. They want to sing over their children. They want them to not fear. They want them to not be afraid. God says, teach your children in such a way that they can respond to me so that on that day they won't have to fear any of that stuff that's going on in verses 1 through 3. No, in fact, for them on that day, it won't be terror. It'll be a celebration. And it'll be a time when God will fill their lives with joy. And I'm telling you, all the sacrifice that you make as a parent to provide that kind of opportunity will be worth it all. And every time you experience a loss or a hurt or a pain, or you go through a difficulty or a trial, just remember, it'll be worth the sacrifice. Because God's word is true, and what he says, he means. And when he says, if you'll trust in him, he'll be your mighty savior to deliver you from that day, he means it. Believe it. Live it. And share it. Let's pray. And just give you a moment to pray, okay? And everyone can benefit from this message, not just moms. Like Josiah responding to God's word as you listen to it. Let the Lord melt your heart. Let him draw you closer to him right now. The peace and the joy that he offers to you is immeasurable. But we only get just a little taste of it right now. But the day is coming when you will be consumed with God's presence. The time now is to trust. The time now is to exercise faith. In heaven, we won't need faith anymore, but we need it right now. Because we can't see everything. We don't know everything. So we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust what he said. And as each of us have been given this great responsibility for others, some of us as parents for children, we need to take heed to what God has said. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us as moms. Help us as dads. Help us as a church to help each other to trust you. To receive your word, to live your word, and then share your word.